topic. Today, we're talking on turning hurt into healing. And we have Dr. Kala Iyengar, who has worked as a pediatrician and is now the director of Peace Village. And those of you who were with us right at the beginning, I was saying it's one of my favorite. It is my favorite retreat center. And the Brahma Kumaris have a number of incredible retreat centers across the world. So if you don't know if there's one close to you, let us know and we'll send you a link to them. But yes, the Peace Village is set in 100, did you say 100 acres or 300 acres, did you say? Yes, 300 acres of woods and streams in the Catkill Mountains of New York. It's been running for 10 years and I've been over, no, 20 years. And over that period, I know I've been a number of times for various events, and it is incredibly relaxing and easing, but incredibly beautiful. So we're going to go get Dr. Cullen to speak on this topic, and we're going to ask her to explore two themes particularly with us today: how to overcome hurt and start the healing process. And then the second one, turn your hurt into healing and your pain into power. Is that possible, or are we asking too much of ourselves and of life? So Dr. Kala is going to be sharing her insights on that. At the end of her talk, she will be doing a very short meditation, and then she will be taking your questions. So if you send your questions to us via the question link in your email, I will look at those questions and I will put them to Dr. Kala to answer.
And remind me again,
we're inviting you to speak till about 10 past seven, then a short meditation, and then I'll put the questions to you. But over to you now. Thank you.
I hope I'm being heard clearly. Yes?
Yes, you are.
Let me start by saying a big, big thank you to Aarti for inviting me to London in our space on this cold winter afternoon here in Peace Village. It's a nice outing for me. And also the topic, you know, which is really, I think, relevant to almost every person, you know, on the planet today, talking about feelings of hurt, but also talking a lot about healing, and then putting the two together, the hurt and the healing. You know, one of the most beautiful things that happens when you start to study spirituality, or, you know, have an interest in looking at things in a spiritual way, is that you kind of get a full-blown picture of everything that's happening. It's like a bird's eye view, more or less, rather than getting just a close-up in which you're getting just a small part of the picture or the image. You're able to see the whole landscape, right? And so spirituality also offers us that lens to see the whole landscape of life and events in life and world events even in general, you know, that are happening now. And really seeing where does it all fit in? Is there any kind of particular order to this? Or is there any kind of rhyme and reason to this? Or is it just, you know, we are victims of the random? And so one of the things that I like to always see is to see that everything starts from a natural state of ease and comfort, right? The fact that we say disease, for example, you know, is something that's not at ease. So is hurt, for example, a natural phenomenon, or is a natural state of being for us as human beings? Instinct tells me no, right? You know, of course, we know lots and lots of people hurting today. But is this really how we should be? And so spirituality has kind of thrown that light on this aspect of natural state of well-being or ease or comfort. And yet there are things that happen and you know that it gets out of balance, misaligned. And yet, you know, time and again, experience tells us that we do have the ability. We do have the strength, the stamina, and the resilience to come back to that normal state again and again. You know, working as a pediatrician, for example, you know, in my, you know, not so recent years, but in the past, you know, I used to be amazed, you know, how quickly, for example, their fractures would heal, right? As versus, you know, if we were older and if we're, you know, elderly, how long it would be and how complicated it can get and so many other things can happen. And so we do have a very, very, very robust, you know, healing mechanism when it comes to the body, the physical body and the physical healing. And it does come back to that natural state of wellness or ease or comfort. And so, and so perhaps there is also a natural ability on a higher level, on a mental level or an emotional level, if you're talking about hurting at that level, there is, I'm sure, a very natural ability for us to come back to that natural state of ease and well-being and peacefulness and, you know, just at ease. So is there any pattern to it, you know? And I think, you know, for me, what I have learned is that, yes, there is definitely a pattern. After every hurt, for example, where does a child who falls and hurts himself or herself run to? You know, it runs to the mother, right? It runs to somebody who can put a healing hand on it or ease that pain in some way. So there is that feeling of, you know, healing that we can also offer to that event or that part of the body. And so there is hurt, but equally there is a phenomenon of healing that follows. Do we always stay healed? Do we always feel well? Perhaps not, you know. So what is it that's getting misaligned with that natural state of well-being or, you know, comfort? What is it that's going wrong? So hurt for me is kind of a signal. It's like a beep, beep alarm that goes off. Something's wrong. Right? Sometimes when the alarm beeps, you know, the tendency is to quickly shut the, press the reset button and keep going on, not even noticing that perhaps, you know, there is something happening. There is, you know, if the smoke detector, for example, has the habit of beeping every now and then, what you would do is quickly put it off and go away. And one of those days, perhaps there is a real fire, real smoke, right? So these things have a purpose. You know, it's not for us to just shut it off and go off our own ways. So when there is any kind of hurt, now today, of course, we are talking about in all kinds of hurt. Physical hurt, I think, is more easy to understand and to detect and to take care of, although not always, right? We even ignore that. But when it comes to any kind of mental pain or emotional pain or anything even more deeply spiritual that is hurting us, something even perhaps that's not working well in your family, in the society, even social pain, for example, you know, it's not always so easy to say, you know, what that this is telling me something, that there is something deeper that's wrong. You know, we simply tend to look at things on a superficial level and give it a label, right? Give it a diagnosis or give it a label and, you know, send it to such and such an expert or such and such an expert and then let them take care of it. But really to understand that, you know, it could be as simple as something that we have not aligned ourselves to, you know, in real life. So hurt is really coming to tell us a signal that something has gone wrong as a consequence of a malalignment or a misalignment with the natural laws of life, the natural way of living, the natural way of our feeling and being, and so on and so forth. So that's something that we have to really take care of. What do we usually do when we hurt? Now, before we even go there, I think we should probably stop for a minute and think about, you know, how does most of the hurt happen? I wouldn't say most of the hurt, but there's different ways in which it can come to us. One, of course, as I said, is the physical hurt or the physical pain, which today, of course, a lot of us are learning more and more that even that is really connected to mental, it's really connected to emotional, it's really connected to something deeply spiritual that we have not resolved for ourselves. It might have something to do with the identity. It might have something to do with something going wrong with relationships. It could be many number of things, but something that we are holding as a block that's not allowing energy to flow easily. And that could very much, you know, very, very many times often be the source of that hurt. And so, of course, yes. But more often, you know, when it is a purely mental pain or an emotional pain, some kind of a feeling of being insulted, feeling of being abused, feeling of not being treated well, feeling of being tramped over, you know, by somebody. These are all feelings, I think, that are, you know, more subtle, so to speak. And they happen almost like as a normal part of life many times, you know, in our mind, it has become a normal. So what I'm trying to say is it's not always a one-time insult, you know, that immediately tells you something, but it's an ongoing insult of some kind, or it's an ongoing experience of some kind that is repeatedly building on top of the other and the other and the other. And ultimately the feeling that I'm left with is that I'm really hurting. You know, I'm not feeling good about myself. I've lost my confidence, or I have lost my, you know, sense of, you know, worthiness. I have lost my, you know, even skills and talents sometimes. I don't feel that I have enough of them. So my whole self-image is kind of, you know, going down, you know, little by little by little. And this is something that is chronic. You know, it's almost like a slow poison, right? You know, it's easy to detect, you know, one-time poison. You put it in the glass and you drink it and you see the result immediately. But a lot of things in life today are not so black and white, so to speak. But it's about long-term exposure to certain types of personalities, certain types of behaviors, treatments, you know. And so, you know, many times it's part of a very natural and realistic situation, and you kind of, you make do and you tolerate and you make do and you tolerate and you, you know, keep going on until the hurt kind of, you know, really dawns on you, whether in a physical way or in some other way that you cannot take anymore, or somebody points out to you. So either way, I think, you know, what is our usual response as human beings, you know, to this kind of hurt or pain? I feel the first thing, of course, as I was saying, is we ignore it. We deny it. You know, is something really wrong? No, we don't ask the deeper questions. And so, you know, we just treat it as a normal way of life, normal way of being, normal way of my own feeling, you know. And so until it says, you know, and I can't take it anymore, and then I start asking the right questions. And so one is to ignore, you know, to deny, so to speak. The famous example of just pushing that reset button on the smoke alarm, right? As I said, let's just do something temporary and go on with it, you know. Even if somebody has tried to, you know, not treat me well, but because I'm taking so much, you know, benefit from the person's company, I let it go and I let it go. And so I make do a lot of things. So slow poison, chronic, you know, kind of treatment. The second thing that we do, of course, you know, again, but at least we do something, and that is we react. Right? We react to, you know, things that are hurtful. We react. How do we react? Sometimes we are taken by surprise. and we're kind of dumbfounded. I can't even do anything about it. I'm just totally dumbfounded. I'm paralyzed by it. So that is not a very good situation, to be surprised by anything. And one of the things we learn here in the whole study of spirituality is, be ready for anything. Life is about anything or anything happening at any time. And we are seeing, witnessing the proof of something like that. So reacting in the form of being surprised, and then we begin to question, but why is this person treating me like this? How can this ever happen? Question after question after question. Does it get us anywhere? Most of the times, no, right? One question leads to the other question, leads to the other question. And I keep the questions to myself. I talk about it to my neighbor. I talk about it to my relatives. And they, of course, expand on it, multiply on it. But does any solution come of it? Not really. The other thing I can do is blame, right? Very quick to find out who I can blame, what I can blame. And so that doesn't get me anywhere either. In other words, the whole emphasis is on out there. I am hurting because that happened. I'm hurting because this one did that. I'm hurting because this person, this hospital did not treat me well, or whatever it may be. So blaming. And then, of course, the other way of reacting is we resist. As if that, that's going to get us anywhere. So we put up a fight as if it's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. And so that's not, and that we do without understanding the whole picture, right? It's good to have resilience. It's good to have mental strength, inner strength to handle and to face whatever we have, but it's not in the form of a forceful energy. It has to be like a gentle energy. And then we finally come to that part of us which has the ability to respond in a sensible way, in a sensible and in a beneficial way. And what is that? What is the most beneficial thing that we can bring to a situation that in which we feel that I'm not being treated well, or I am being hurt by somebody? Somebody's causing me pain. And to me, in my own experience, the first thing that I can do is to calm myself down. Calm myself down. And you would say, how can you possibly calm yourself down when somebody is mistreating you? And yet, this is one of the biggest, tools that I have found that it can really help. And why I say that is because the more I even use a logical mind or analytical mind or, a fixing mind to fix things, it's actually getting my emotion even higher, activated, and it's not helping me in this whole process of healing. So the first thing is I have to recognize that person or that situation that is hurting me is outside of me. And the one who is hurting, I am one who is inside. So I need to bring a little barrier there immediately. And I need to remind myself that I have that ability. I do have that ability to bring that barrier and get into a part of myself that's not affected, that is still, that's calm. That's peaceful, right? Many of you would have heard this word, Om Shanti, from the Brahma Kumaris before. And it's like a magical word. It's like a mantra, of course, but it's also a magical word when you really understand the meaning of it, meaning that I am a peaceful soul, right? So I look at this Om Shanti or this, element of calming myself. It's almost like putting a balm. What's the first thing that a mom does or anybody does to a wound, a child that's gotten wounded? You're trying to put all sorts of things to calm it down, to kind of cool it down, isn't it? So it's the same thing we have to do with ourselves, calming it, calming that emotion, slowing down my speed of thoughts, really, and coming back to the awareness that I am a peaceful being. Om Shanti, I'm a living entity, I'm a peaceful entity, I'm a conscient entity, and I can, you know, I have the choice to change, you know, the way I think about anything. For the time being, I'm not kind of justifying anything, or I'm not trying to ignore anything, but for the time being, my well-being is most important, and therefore I want to be in that space of calmness. The other thing that can happen from that calmness is I can get curious, you know, why is this person, you know, and there must be a reason. In other words, there must be a valid reason why I'm feeling like this, or why this person is treating me like this. In other words, it's not a feeling that is coming from being hurt, but it's a feeling that's coming from wanting to know, curiosity. So I feel that energy of curiosity is also very healing. It begins the process. The calmness begins the healing process, right? It's like a bomb, as I was saying, a cooling bomb. And then this curiosity of wanting to find out, which is what happens, isn't it? When you go to a doctor, when you go to a surgeon, you know, you're hurting and they want to know more. They want to know more. They want to know more. Why? Because it will help them to detect, you know, what exactly went wrong. It's the same thing with me. You know, when I'm hurting mentally, why am I hurting? That person said and went away and he's not hurting. And why am I hurting? Or this happened 10 years ago and I'm still sitting with it. So why am I hurting? So you become curious about your own self. Doesn't seem natural. Not to take things as if for granted that because that happened, I have to feel this way today, right? So being curious about, you know, what is it that's triggering this pain for me? Because one thing is the event, one thing is the words that were spoken, one thing is the person that's out there, but the other thing is the feeling that I'm left with. And I have to take responsibility for this feeling of hurt. And then I can explore a little more, go in a little bit deeper. You know, why am I being so sensitive? I'm not sensitive when the other person, you know, does this, but I'm sensitive to this particular person saying this to me. So why am I being discriminate? Is it that I want something specific from this person? Am I attached to this person? Is there an expectation there that, you know, that is, somebody is not fulfilling? And so I begin to learn about myself. I explore my own, you know, dynamics that's happening inside of me, right? And then I begin to understand. So all these are very healing energies and processes. When we respond in this way, in terms of being calm, being curious, you know, internal exploration or reflection on some of the feelings and trying to understand, right? And kind of trying to really untangle the little web that I have created in my head of being hurt, being hurt, being hurt, being hurt. Let me untangle it. How much of it is real? How much of it is kind of superimposed by my own imagination, perhaps, or my own multiplication or magnification of that thing? So I can then really begin to see that situation and not feel that this is something personal that's happening to me. You know, this is another beautiful thing about, you know, spirituality and, you know, looking at things with a spiritual eye, a spiritual lens, is that everything can be depersonalized. Otherwise, we have this outlook on life that somebody's out there waiting to hurt me, waiting to do this to me, waiting to do that to me. No. Apparently, it may seem so. But this is actually the condition of human beings today. that we are, many of us are operating from a place of deficiency and lack of compassion or lack of enough human values or lack of whatever. So I don't have to personalize it, right? I need to kind of, again, look at it from a distance, understand what's happening, and then empower myself. Now that I do know that this person is like this or has a, you know, some kind of a disorder, personality disorder, whatever it may be, how can I strengthen myself? How can I stabilize myself? And how can I face this particular relationship now in a sensible way, in a responsible way? So that's very healing. You know, when I take charge, when I take power in my hand, it's a power. Understanding is a power. Reflecting and finding, you know, something true about me, that's a power. And most importantly, to accept what's happening. I think that's almost like the bottom line. Because the moment I say, I'm accepting this as a fact of life for me at this particular time, but that's not the end of it, right? The acceptance then gives me the power to move on and heal myself. And I can tell you for a fact, in physical illness, in physical healing, this plays a crucial part, this whole, you know, aspect of accepting something as versus resisting something, as versus, you know, really, people usually use this word, I'm fighting with cancer, I'm fighting with it. I don't think it's really about fighting. It's really about accepting and activating your healing energy, healing hormones, healing enzymes, healing everything. So what do you do when you accept? And I can tell you so many instances in which people have told me that, you know, the moment that they accepted something, things shifted. Things shifted, right? Instantly, almost. Things began to, you know, turn for the better. But because I'm putting an opposing energy, resisting energy, you know, I have to face all kinds of situations. In other words, I'm perpetuating that hurtful situation. So for me, acceptance, the energy of acceptance is very, very important in terms of turning hurt into healing. And now, does that mean that I lay back, I'm passive, and I allow people to hurt me over and over again? Not really, no. Not really, no. On the contrary, acceptance of that particular situation is helping me to think clearly. How can I change it? How can I change it? It's empowering me to look at myself and say, what is it within me that is making me feel hurt? Even though the other person may do whatever or things may happen in whatever way, but how can I change my point of view? How can I increase my immunity, right? Talking of immunity. And how can I begin to heal myself? And the same equation applies to emotional pain. And of course, much deeper spiritual pain too. You know, it may seem like, you know, all this is so difficult, right? A lot of inner work, a lot of inner exploration, a lot of honesty with yourself. You know, you have to have the courage to kind of, you know, come out of this and say, I will take responsibility, you know? I mean, it seems like, you know, that may be a, you know, very, very tough thing to do. But I also feel it's very simple, because what are we trying to do? What are we trying to do in terms of healing? The famous word, what do we say? TLC. This one just needs some TLC, right? So what do we need? What do I need at that time when I'm hurting? Tender, loving care. Tender, loving care is what I need for myself. And I'm expecting it to come from there, and from there. And I'm not getting it. And so I'm hurting more, and I'm hurting more, and I'm hurting more. So this is where I feel we really need to start having conversation with ourselves, relationship with myself first. I am the most powerful healer that I can ever get for myself. Nobody can do it for me as I can do it for myself. And so I have to kind of rise above this mundane or whatever real situation it may be. I have to rise above it into a different role. Yes, here I am going through this, whatever I'm going through, but part of me has to rise above that to that place of healer with this attitude of tender, loving care and start having conversation with yourself. Beautiful conversation with yourself. One thing, as I said before, Om Shanti. You're a peaceful soul. You're a loving soul. You're a beautiful person. You've done your best. Anything nice that you can say to yourself about those beautiful original qualities of that natural state of being that we talked about before. You know, there is a natural state of awareness that keeps us in a state of good well-being. So remind myself of all those qualities, right? You can say it is like an internal conversation with yourself, a relationship with yourself. You can call it meditation, right? In which you're reminding yourself that you're not all the things that you have been caught up thinking that you are. You are not good in that. You're good in that. No. But you're basically a conscient, beautiful being of light. Conversation with yourself. Acknowledging that part of yourself. You know, usually when you want to be healed, you know, when you want to be comforted, you want that TLC. You usually think of going to somebody, right? And it is good. And it's good if you have those loved ones around you, if you have friends, if you have relatives, and you know, you can share what you're going through with them. But nobody can understand yourself as you do, if you really try to. Understanding yourself really in the light of who you started off with as that beautiful being, bringing back that awareness again and again. So yes, you can go to your mom, you can go to the experts, as they say, you know, the specialists, you can go to your loved ones, you can go to yourself. And even more important than going to myself is going to that supreme, that eternal and ultimate healer. Someone who is like an ocean of healing, you know, energy. Like, you know, a very source of healing energy. Because remember, even for myself, I need to be quite well-versed, you know, with some of the spiritual aspects about myself to heal myself. But when I go to that supreme energy, it's just overflowing, right? You know, the overflowing energy of acceptance, for example, overflowing energy of love. Overflowing energy of understanding, really helping me to understand along the way what happened, why did I feel hurt. You know, my identity, for example, is not mixed up with somebody telling me you're good or you're not good or whatever, but my identity is me, you know, so I need to be able to separate that. And that's the whole process of healing, how I'm able to separate that identity from so many things that I have mixed it up with. Whether it is my relationship, whether it is my assets, possessions, whether it is even my body, you know, all these things that are going to fail me one day or the other. But that doesn't mean that I lose my identity. And most of the times, the cause for hurt is I feel I was not acknowledged. I was not valued. I was not respected. My rights were violated, right? So, and all of that has to do with this original spiritual identity that we all hold as spiritual beings, as beings of light, peaceful, loving, beautiful beings of light. So I need to also allow that healing to come from that supreme, for those of us who have that connection or relationship or, you know, a regular practice of some kind of prayer or meditation, it's great, you know, to turn to that one in our prayers and in our meditations for that. Why that healing is like long-term healing. You know, the human healing that we go to and we kind of experience from each other, it can work temporary. But for somebody to really understand me in a way that whatever, not only is it a matter of taking away the pain, but it's also a matter of filling me with something that I will never take that pain again. I will never allow anybody to hurt me again. I'll never allow myself to be hurt again. That's the kind of healing force that we need in our life. And that's the energy of God, I feel. Ultimate healing energy. Eternal healing energy. And of course, we have to be aware of what keeps us hurting. You know, perhaps there is something in it for me that I feel I'm getting a lot of attention, and therefore, you know, I kind of perpetuate that hurt feeling. So we have to be very aware of all these subconscious phenomena that's happening. Victim consciousness, again, people can feel sorry for me. All of that coming from the wrong place, the wrong awareness. But the most important thing, I think, that keeps us hurting is because we do not want to rise up. We do not want to own the power to change our way of thinking, looking at ourselves. The lack of that power to change. So when Aarti said in the beginning, how do you change pain into power? You actually look at that pain and you say, you could have done that differently. And now I'm going to do it differently. And the reason for my hurt was not out there. The reason for my hurt was inside, because I did not hold myself high enough. And now I am going to hold myself high enough so that nobody can hurt me. So naturally, when you come to that place of position and power, nobody can hurt you. Nobody can hurt you. So there's a few things that you can go home with, I believe. The balm of calm, right? Putting that balm of calm on your head. Calm yourself. Om Shanti. And you can start looking within, conversing with that beautiful self that you are. You are peaceful, you're loving, you know, nobody can hurt you. You're above all of this, you are powerful. And of course, turning to the one supreme God so that you can not only be relieved of the hurt, you can also empower yourself so that you can never be hurt again, that you are able to imbibe that kind of wisdom and power from that universal source of love. Right. So I've left you with a few thoughts, I hope, that are helpful.
Thank you. If you would li like to lead us into a meditation.
Yes, then we will go into the questions. Okay. Taking a few minutes to internalize what we've been talking about. Looking within, for that source being, that thinks and feels and senses and responds. That subtle entity called the soul that I am, and yet very powerful, for a few moments, let me feel that pure energy of that subtle being that I am, regardless of what I have been experiencing lately, or regardless of what's going on in my life, just coming back to this beautiful space. Inside, and using this simple method of tender, loving care to my own self. Applying that balm of coolness and calmness, that all will be okay. And getting my clarity the clarity on what I can do differently. The clarity on how I can sustain and provide myself this healing energy. And the clarity on my connection with the one up above, who is always looking out, waiting to help, waiting to heal. Opening myself to that love. Not pushing anything, but allowing things to happen and to flow naturally towards my own healing. Saying yes accepting that healing power that I have and using it with the help of the divine. Seeing myself as whole and healed And it feels good. Om Shanti.
Thank you. The questions have been coming in quite intensely. There's loads, actually. I hope you have some extra time to answer. You've definitely got everybody thinking. So the first two questions I'm going to put together. What is the difference between spiritual and emotional pain and healing? And can you explain what spiritual pain involves?
Spiritual and emotional pain, how are they different? Is that the question? Yeah,
that's the first part. And how are they different in both experience and in healing? And then what can you explain what spiritual pain involves?
Mm-hmm. Very nice question, right? So there is different layers of pain, right? And sometimes we're not able to pick up, you know, one kind of pain. And so therefore it shows up in the other level and then the other level. And I think the one that we can pick up the most is the physical level, but they are all connected. And I guess, where does it all start? Is in my understanding, all pain starts at the spiritual level. Of course, we don't recognize it, we don't realize it as such. And what that means is that I, as a spiritual being, what I owe to myself or what is owed to myself, I'm not getting it. And what is owed to the self as a spiritual being is these qualities that we talked about today. There isn't the sense of peacefulness. There isn't the feeling of love. There isn't the feeling of that original joy of life. So I'm being deprived somewhere of these qualities. And so it is, it shows up, of course, a lot of times in terms of the most common that I have seen really is it shows up as an identity crisis, right? It's an identity conflict or crisis in identity. We're not able to feel comfortable with the way we identify with ourselves in different, you know, categories of, you know, whatever, because we're not being recognized, we are not being acknowledged, most importantly by my own self. You know, I'm not acknowledging myself as that pure spiritual identity with these qualities. And so I don't feel comfortable, or I will feel that, you know, someone is not respecting me because of this and this, or someone is not, you know, treating me well or whatever. So there is a lot of problems that come from identity crisis. In other words, never feeling settled, so to speak. That's how I see spiritual pain. You know, they're never comfortable with, you know, any kind of position or any kind of whatever. Emotional pain, on the other hand, I feel is, you know, it's taking sorrow, you know, it's immediately reacting to things with this feeling of anger, sorrow, fear, guilt, all of these mixed emotions. And again, this is the other level, you know, that is more obvious perhaps, you know, in many instances, and they show up as these different emotions. Now, you know, it's hard to believe sometimes that people who are angry are actually in pain, right? Because you would say, you know, an angry person is an angry person, but an angry person is angry because there is a lot of pain that person is carrying. So they're carrying emotional pain. I mean, it's reflecting in different ways, but there's so many different, you know, the scope of emotional pain is really great. So in terms of healing, if you, I would say again, spiritual healing is the ultimate, the most holistic healing is spiritual healing. But perhaps not everybody is, enough evolved to take that on. In other words, you probably need some kind of an immediate, measure to soothe the emotional pain or to kind of put your mind to rest or whatever. And therefore, all kinds of emotional therapies or, psychotherapies and all of those may be necessary in the interim. But the ultimate healing, I feel, is always spiritual healing. And that is to kind of give yourself a chance to experience yourself as a soul and to feel the healing energy of the divine, the ultimate healing, the spiritual healing, I think. And that kind of then trickles down to emotional healing and then the physical healing, mental healing, all of those things are repercussions of that spiritual healing. But like I said, we never say, just do spiritual healing and that's it. No. By all means, take care of what's wrong with the body. By all means, take care of what's happening with your mental, status. I know you have to do all of that. But then also do not neglect your spirituality. Okay.
Thank you. The next question is, if there's someone in your life who keeps bringing up things you have done and hurt them with, what do you do? You've apologized, and they may be right or wrong in thinking that you've hurt them, but they're still not letting go. Other than saying, I've done my bit, now it's up to them to let go, what else can one do when they keep bringing up the hurt again and again?
I think you've done most of the work, what you can do, which is really not taking it on. The worst thing that you can do is to get yourself into that place of being guilty, which probably the other person is trying to do over and over again. And again, that, the person is doing it is in ignorance, but you are free from that feeling of guilt and you have nothing but, feeling, your feelings have changed. You have, you have nothing but good wishes for this person. You have nothing but pure feelings for this person, good thoughts, elevated thoughts. In other words, always seeing the person in that state of mind where that person is also able to let go, let go, let go, let go. And so for that, you need to be absolutely in that place of freedom. You have freed yourself entirely from your past and you have put yourself in a very, very pure, state of mind. And when you're looking at that person or listening to that person too, what is coming out of you is your pure feelings, your pure, your good wishes. So I think, I don't know if you can do anything more. If there is any particular habit, perhaps, that might have hurt, the person before, can think of changing that habit or whatever. But if there isn't a physical continuity of any pattern, then I think you've done your best.
Thank you. The next question. I have cut my brother out of my life as he was vile and nasty when I visited him in Australia. I don't need that kind of behavior in my life, and I have to protect myself. Do you have any ideas how to build a bridge, although I'm scared of making contact?
One of the things that the Brahma Kumaris believe a lot in is the power of your, again, as I said before, the power of your positive thoughts and your pure feelings and good wishes. Right, there's nothing like that. They work better than words. They work better than, gestures. They work better than physical actions, even sometimes. So, being that, of course, that he's far away, maybe he's not far away now, but just maintaining, that he is also a soul. He's also evolving. What might have happened, maybe something temporary, giving him the benefit of doubt. And seeing him in a better form, seeing him in his best form, through your mental eye, I think, and giving him good feelings. And you'll be surprised, little by little, he will be receiving them and the change will be visible.
Caliban, the next question is, how do we forgive and restart relationships with family and friends that have hurt you?
Yes, I may not have said it as clearly as I would have meant to, but this whole thing of hurting, I think it's a misunderstanding, right? We are all kind of, working from a place of deficiency, as I said, a lack of enough patience, lack of enough virtues of, love, respect, compassion, all of those things. And so obviously sometimes we do come across as if we want to hurt somebody, but really nobody is hurting anybody. But we all do have the ability to protect ourselves from that hurt. And so very simple, in terms of, spirituality, what we recommend is that get your spiritual identity together. Get to know yourself as a spiritual being. Get to know your strengths. Get to know your special qualities. Get to know your strengths, inner strengths, so to speak. And as you do that, you will find yourself being able to do so many things differently from what you did before. And one of those things will be not to feel hurt. Right, and feeling hurt almost would seem like a, what is that all about? There was nothing to feel hurt about in that, because I am who I am, and they are acting in ignorance, or somebody is not doing the right thing because of not knowing better. But I'm not going to lose my own sense of, respect and, regard for myself. So building your self-identity, spiritually. Knowing yourself as a soul and building all your spiritual assets automatically will help you to be in a different place with your relatives, and of course it will also help them to change over a period of time.
So how do you heal from destructive things you have done to yourself, which has led to unhappiness and an unsatisfactory life?
A lot of people do different spiritual practices, but it could be any simple thing as affirmations. Choose two or three simple sentences about yourself, how you are the best of the best. You have a lot of compassion. Choose some quality of yours that you're very good in. And affirm that to yourself, reaffirm that faith. And if you want to go a little deeper than that, I think there is a lot of help available in terms of, as I was saying before, to knowing yourself spiritually, getting to know yourself spiritually. It really is like a new beginning, starting fresh. What I did before, what we, how I behaved before was in ignorance. But when I know better, I will be better, I will behave better. So this is the way it goes. Most of us, do those things that are not beneficial to ourselves or even harmful to ourselves just because we don't know better. And the whole path of spirituality and Raj Yoga that we teach as Brahma Kumari really opens the doors, to that full array of choices that we have, how we can think about ourselves in a better way, right?
Thank you. How would you cultivate acceptance?
How would you come to what?
How would you cultivate
Cultivate.
acceptance?
Hard question again. It is a very, very spiritual quality, I think. You know, the more you evolve spiritually, you know, the more you yourself see that there are different levels that you yourself can go through, the more you will also appreciate other people also at different levels. You know, you can look back at yourself and, you know, say, you know, how did I do, you know, why did I do that? That did not make any sense. When you grow spiritually, that is. It's the same thing with others. Everybody is at a different level. You know, you can't look at a, you know, child, you know, acting, you know, in a funny way, naughty way, and get, you know, mad, get not mad at that person. But again, the same person, if it's a grown-up person, if they acted the same way, you would get mad, right? But we know that different people, even let alone their spiritual journey, but even we at different times, even during the day, we are in different moods and we kind of act out of impulse, or you know, we're not able to resist or control ourselves. So these things do happen, and it's not condemning that person for life, but really giving the benefit of doubt. As I said, past is past. Let's move on, you know, and let's make a fresh start. So accepting all things, all people, all events as part of growing up. Really, let us help each other to grow up, you know, through those experiences rather than looking at those experiences and condemning each other, you know, for the rest of our journey together, right? So acceptance is a deeply spiritual quality, knowing that we're all moving, we're all moving towards better, better, better.
Next question. How to connect and communicate with an injured, angry child so that there is a healing possibility?
Yes, we again, you know, have this practice of what we call soul to soul connection. And I can speak from my own experience how that works magically, you know, as a pediatrician, when you know, you get children, of course, that are screaming and so violent, and you know, especially if they're coming for their shots. And you can do nothing to tame them, right, at that time. But I did find that when I started to have this practice of meditation and consciously, actually, I would practice, I'm a soul, spiritual being, even though I'm playing the role of a doctor, but I'm a soul primarily. And this patient of mine is a soul, even though it looks like a child and a naughty child and a difficult child, all of that. But this is really a soul. So really to make that one-to-one soul-to-soul connection, spirit-to-spirit connection, which is really a positive connection, seeing the positive, you know. I may not be able to see it with these eyes, but with the eye of my mind and understanding, knowing that we are all, you know, we started from that place. So seeing each other, feeling the energy of that, you know, pure soul. And it would make a big, big difference within short time. You know, the same children who were so violent, so difficult, they would change, you know, and they would, you know, easily come in and put up their arm for their shot and things like that. So yes, children are very sensitive to vibrations. And so really to work on your vibrations of peace, of love, you know, these two qualities, especially. I, the soul, I'm a peaceful soul. I, the soul, I'm a loving soul. If we can just even practice these two simple things, but consistently, so that the vibration builds over time and you can be that healing force in that child's life.
Thank you. Next question. How do you deal with friends that leave you out?
For a good reason, maybe. well, For me, I mean, and this may be something personal, if someone leaves me out, I would rather be left out, right? And I would choose my circle of friends. I may not always be right in that, you know, maybe it's my ego that's speaking. But really not to take it personally again. You know, everyone has preferences, everyone has different ways of, you know, expressing. And to acknowledge that I'm unique, and maybe, you know, if they don't want me, I don't necessarily want to be there, you know? And to continue my own journey, and to continue my own sense of purpose, continue my own circle of friends, and to feel fulfilled through other things. So I shouldn't be dependent on anything. Or maybe it's the way I'm perceiving that they're leaving me out. I don't know. You know, sometimes that happens too. You know, I want an invitation, and somebody would say, "But you didn't need an invitation. You could have come." You know, and that has happened to me too. So you have to kind of see where you want to be. Look at your own honest feelings. You know, where you want to be, who you want to be with. That's more important.
Thank you. Next question. When we have been hurt, we tend to close our hearts to protect ourselves. Have you any tips on how to keep the heart open in order to give and receive love?
Yes. I think for this particular question, I have to say, in my own experience, I need to release the hurt, right? And the only way I have found effective in releasing the hurt is to really have that close conversation with God. Yes, of course, with myself too, but sometimes I don't have that much of, you know, self-confidence, you know, that I'm so good. But with God, I can always have that, you know, open conversation of letting that hurt go, like dissolve it into the thin air, and to kind of put it into the ocean, so to speak. Especially when you didn't have anything to do with, you know, that particular incident, you know, anything wrong to do with that particular incident. It just goes, you know, the hurt goes. You just have to have somebody to release it to, you know, and it can be just anybody to release it to, because you want somebody who can also empower you know, after releasing it. And that empowerment is what enables you to open your heart again to someone else, and to someone else, and to someone else, right?
Okay, next question. How do you free yourself completely from the past?
Yes, more easily said than done, right? We're all in the journey, we're all doing it, we're all trying it. But some of the things that, you know, a very nice image that comes to mind, and that is, you know, we use the word here, past is past, and therefore put a full stop, right? You've written a sentence, and the sentence is finished, and so you put a full stop. Full stop means full stop. There's nothing more to add to that sentence. The next sentence is the next sentence. It's a new sentence, right? So mentally, to train yourself to say that whatever had happened in the past, right? Yes, I know what happened. I perhaps have looked at it. I have learned from it, all of that. But now I need to really put a full stop, a dot, kind of, and start a new sentence. In other words, it's start a new pattern, start a new habit, start a new way of looking at a person, start a new way of doing things, whatever that may, new may be. But start something new, so that that takes your attention and energy, and your energy is not going towards the past, but consciously make something new, a new change, you know, of some kind connected with that particular incident.
Thank you. What do you do with people that hurt you, but you are too polite or kind to stop talking to them? So you don't stop talking to them, but they continue to hurt you. What do you do with such people?
What do you do with these people? What do you do with yourself is the question, right? Why am I allowing that to continue? I should be able to say, for my sake, as well as the sake of that person, because it's not a good, you know, karma even for that other person, I should be able to say, you know, in an equanimous way, tone of voice or whatever, that what they are saying or what they are doing does not seem appropriate, you know. I should be able to voice it. And I should be able to have enough of my own sense of dignity or self-respect, as well as love for the other person, you know, that I can be honest and speak my heart.
Wow. Okay, that's good. Now, here's an interesting question. Why is it that friends can hurt us? Or indeed anybody?
So-called friends, right? Or sometimes relatives, for that matter. Closest of relatives hurt the most, right? Sometimes. Or the ones that you are the closest to hurt the most. And I think we have a wrong sense of what a good relationship is, what a good friend is, or what a good, you know, relative maybe, or somebody who's very close to you is. And, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it's referred to as possessiveness. Sometimes it's referred to as expectations. Sometimes it's referred to as familiarity or attachment, too close to each other. So these are not, you know, there's no boundaries, in other words, in that relationship. And when there are no boundaries, then, you know, you cross that boundary of safety and it begins to hurt, you know, after a while. That's the only thing in any relationship, for anything, I feel, you know, spirituality tells us that, you know, lay down some norms, lay down some boundaries, lay down some, you know, do's and don'ts. With children, we do that, right? You know, when we bring up children, you know, we say they need boundaries. And the same thing with souls, with each other's relationship too. Sometimes we, you know, we're not very acting in out of awareness. We're acting in ignorance. And so it helps to keep some kind of boundaries in your friendships, in your relationships, you know, even they may be close relationships. But these boundaries have more to do with your own sense of value and purpose, that they are not taken away from you in the sense of, you know, in the name of friendship, for example. So I think it's balancing friendship with your own sense of who you are. You know, we always have to play that little game, you know, of balancing it.
Interesting. This is from someone who lives a little closer to you than us. They live in East Village in New York City. And they're asking, how do we forgive someone who has hurt us? Is it by having compassion for them? But what does compassion really mean?
It's like a retreat subject, right? We used to have retreats on love and forgiveness, and that used to be our most well-attended retreat, actually, love and forgiveness. So what is forgiveness again? You know, we believe a lot in, you know, everyone is kind of responsible for their own karma. But in our dictionary, we bring in this thing of so-and-so has hurt me, and therefore I need to forgive this person or whatever, whatever. In reality, it's everyone's individual journey, and we all have to come to that place of truth, of acting out of that true awareness of who we are. So in terms of forgiveness, it should really be easy for me, because nobody can really hurt me. If I feel hurt, it's because of something within myself that I took on unnecessarily. In other words, you know, this whole feeling of victimization, for example, or, you know, feeling that I'm the victim of this person's behavior. It's true to a large extent, because our behavior, our mentality, our demeanor, our vibrations are always giving a message to the other person, what they can do with me and what they cannot do with me. So to a certain extent, I would say, yes, you know, they did whatever they could best in that particular set of circumstances. But now I have moved on. You see, I'm not going to allow them to do the same thing to me. I have moved on. And therefore, I release them from whatever they have done, the responsibility of that. And it's now up to them to change if they want to change, you know, their behavior to me. So that's what I call forgiveness, that I'm not holding on to that idea that this person hurt me, right? I created hurt for myself, but now I'm in a better place. I have moved on. Let me give the freedom to the other person also to move on by releasing them out of that guilt, you know, feeling they should not feel guilty, but I should in fact have good wishes for them that they too learn the lessons that I'm learning in life.
In your talk, you talked about building your immune system to face hurt. So how can we build our immunity to face hurt and stop others from treating us as a pushover because we're kind?
Right. You know, again, it has to do with your own sense, inner strength, so to speak. Inner power or inner strength actually comes from your sense of yourself. If you have a strong sense of who you are, what you stand for, what your values are, you stand up to it and you act according to that. And that itself becomes your immunity. You know, you cannot be moved around or, you know, told by people what you should have to do and whatever. And not only you will stand up to it, but you will do it and you will be able to face the consequences of that too. Because not everybody may support you, not everybody may agree with you, not everybody. But you believe very strongly in your values and you acted according to that. And so you will be able to face those consequences, you know, along the way. So that I feel is your inner strength and also your immune system. You don't get affected easily by someone's remarks or someone's, you know, comments, or sometimes it may even come back as failure, you know, what the world looks at as failure. Oh, you didn't do so well. But in your eyes, you did well, you know, because you stuck to some of your principles or values. And so I think that's your immune system. You know, you're building your inner strength against all kinds of falsehoods that exist in the world today.
Thank you. There's a number of people asking if they can revisit your talk. And yes, I've just put up the links in the chat for you to see. You can listen to the talk as a podcast. You can watch it on YouTube or Facebook, but the links are there now for you. Caleb, I'm going to keep you just for another few minutes, if I may, because the questions are flowing. The next question is...
I told you this is like a retreat now.
Well, we can't get to you physically just yet, but when we can, we will be knocking on your door for a retreat, definitely. The question is, what you've shared makes a lot of sense and I absolutely agree with it, but I cannot get past feeling hurt. And if I ask these questions that you were suggesting, I still feel hurt. So how do I get past this phase so I can activate healing?
See, what's happening is that we don't have a strong reference of our spiritual self. We don't have a reference of that experience. And so what I would recommend is for you to perhaps, you know, do something, and I know Sister Arthi can perhaps guide you better, but something that will give you that kind of reference of that soul experience, spiritual experience of who we are, because that will then become the backdrop on which you are going to kind of, you know, do this new thing about not feeling hurt. In other words, you know, you need to have a feeling, you know, some kind of an experience of feeling so good about yourself. And that's what spiritual knowledge and spiritual practice does to you. We call it as soul awareness, self-awareness, or soul awareness. And if you've had even a few moments of that, I think it will help you to release that hurt.
Thank you. And I think I can ask you one more question in the time that we have left. And the question is, why is it that hurt from close relationships hurts so deeply?
Again, that's where we have our most investment. You know, we call it love, but it's actually a wrong type of investment in that love. And that's why we even need to understand the term love a little bit better in terms of the spiritual language. And when we do that, we will know that, as I said, you know, behaviors of different people, you know, different behaviors will have a totally different meaning. You know, they will not be looked upon as if they are directed to me, or, you know, they will not be personalized. We will be able to be more objective looking at their behavior or looking at their, you know, relate, you know, their conversation with me, or what, however they treated me, in a different light. So I think, look at this term, you know, the closest ones, the most loved ones, you know, we were the closest, but on what basis are we the closest? You know, again, it's some kind of dependency, some kind of expectations, some kind of, you know, wanting to be you to be my like me, or me to be like you, but not giving enough freedom to each other. I think these are wrong types of norms and standards in relationships that we have built over a period of time. So we have to revisit that too. And spiritual love comes from a very pure place, right? And it gives allowance for each other to be themselves, to grow at their own pace, and yet help each other to grow in the same direction. So again, spirituality gives a whole lot of answers to these questions.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.